They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was a building ready to explode at the start, and LeBron James defused it with a legendary performance. 42 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, highlight after highlight after highlight, and the clock will hit triple zeros. And in spite of it all, LeBron James and the Cavs are going back to Cleveland, down 0-2. A stirring come-from-behind win in what may have been the Marcus Smart game of all Marcus Smart games.
They break out Geno last night?
I think it was after the final buzzer, yeah.
Okay. That's good. Playoffs. You don't want to get too cocky. Celtics are up 2-0. Cavs are in shambles at the moment. The real problem there. And we're already starting to see Brian Windhorst get the PR machine working for LeBron James. He writes today that Tuesday was a fascinating day for the Celtics franchise. And owed to the value of smart management, calculated risk-taking, and stability. Talks a little bit about the draft lottery going on in Chicago. And talks about the trade, the Kyrie Irving deal. Talks about everything that's sort of happened to the Celtics in recent years. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, talks about the older, slower, and definitely less happy Cleveland Cavaliers losing 107-94. Let me just read the ending of this column for Brian Windhorst. He says, "There's no doubt with LeBron James as the driving force, the Cavs play as if they have a certain mental edge over opponents. They've inflicted so much damage over the years to teams like the Raptors, Pacers, Bulls, etc." He says, "But like the alpha male lion who had to fight his way to the head of the pride, the battles build up scar tissue, and the younger upstarts circle, plotting for a chance to shove him out. At some point, it catches up with you. The upstart, it is starting to appear, is the Celtics. Calling a playoff series over too early is a classic mistake. Simply assuming the Celtics, who haven't played well on the road in the postseason and still have some weaknesses that can catch them, will win two of the next five games is dangerous. The Cavs are hard to beat 4-7, and they've won 12 series in the past 4 years after all. James has rescued his teams from worse spots." It says, "But no matter how this conference finals plays out, it doesn't change the organizational fatigue that the Cavs are fighting. It's hanging on them like a weight. Combined with their diminished talent from a season ago, it's making this playoff run feel like a trudge."
That's a good statement right there by him, Etienne. That's what it feels like. It's exactly what it feels like. This is the end for them. Like, they put this together. They're in it to win it now. They still don't have all the pieces necessary, and are hanging on to LeBron for dear life and hoping he stays. That's exactly the way this thing feels.
I think it feels like they know he's all leaving, and he's out the door, and yeah, it's over already, and they're just looking to start their offseason.
Yeah. I didn't see a lot of heart in their team last night, besides him. See, you heard Grandy. The Grandy's seen a lot of basketball games, more than any of us. He termed it a legendary performance, yet we got people calling our show saying he quit. Now, he didn't quit. Or he gave up.
There is value in LeBron going to the finals and losing. Is there value in it for anybody else on that roster? Do they care enough? Do they care enough to get there and lose? They don't care. They don't play like a team that cares. They don't play like a team that's dialed in. That may change when they get home. It might be easier for them to find that. But to say they look lackluster is the obvious statement of the night. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about what the response would be from that team and LeBron James. LeBron James did respond. He had a better game in Game 2 than he did in Game 1.
Absolutely.
Now you have a triple-double. You had a decent night. Did anybody else on that team respond? Anybody? Name a single guy.
Korver for a couple of minutes.
I thought Kevin Love played well pretty much the whole game.
Kevin Love, yeah, Kevin Love was out there battling. And stat line wise, he was There's only three Cavaliers in double figures last night, and it falls off so sharply. It's LeBron had 42, Kevin Love 22 points, Korver had 11, which seemed like more because of the timeliness of the points he made. They're all kind of all in a row, but yeah, Love was out there contributing throughout the night. By the way, did you like LeBron's chest pass, the full court chest pass down to Kevin Love?
LeBron is one of the best passers in the history of the game.
Oh, my God.
He had a couple backdoor down a lane the same way.
Yeah. He tried going to that like a second time in a row, which was
a little
greedy. But passing on a dime and passing in traffic is one thing. Just the strength of that guy to be able to pull that off. Ridiculous. But yeah, I'd say that Love stepped up for most of the 48 minutes last night. Sure.
Wasn't enough.
Nope.
Wasn't enough if you're counting on Kevin Love to be a star player and a real second option. Wasn't bad. You're right. Wasn't enough. Cavs haven't done enough. The Celtics, on the other hand, have just kept doing exactly what they've been doing, which is a brand of team basketball that I'm sure many other coaches in the league are envious of, that Brad Stevens can get any group of players in this league to play the way those guys do. And that's a credit to the players. Not to the coach.
That's credit to them buying in that league, too, because this is the outlier, man. This is.
Haven't
That's a superstar-laden league.
Haven't seen the likes of it since, got to go all the way back to those 04 Pistons, don't you, Beetle?
I mean, it's the last time that a non-superstar team won it.
Yeah, got to go back that far, right? Chauncey was the closest thing they had. Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace. Tayshaun Prince, who's your starting five right there? Who's the world beater out there? I mean, Chauncey was Mr. Big Shot, but he wasn't a superstar. It's been that long. It's been 14 years since he had a team like this look like they have a chance. Now, do they really have a chance? Do you put this team up against Golden State from the outset, from the beginning, before they tip off or ever tip off in game one? And I know we're not there yet, but we can play look ahead. You don't think they have a chance, right? No one thought those Pistons had a chance against the Lakers either in 04. Nobody. You want to go back and look at some outrageous lines for an NBA Finals series? Go back and check and see how heavily the Lakers were favored back in 04 with Kobe and Shaq. Mm.
Keep going. I like it.
It's true. And quite frankly, I think the Celtics might be a little more talented than that team.
I think that's what we're realizing.
Because they're two young players and because of a guy we haven't really spent enough time talking about today, Al Horford, who on the stat sheet isn't going to show up in a big way. Dude makes winning plays.
I'm going to get to make the 17-18 Celtics versus the 03-04 Pistons analogy a lot over the next few weeks.
Where'd you rank?
I'm going to enjoy that.
Like 1 through 5, guys of most importance in these two games from what you've watched.
Mount Rushmore of the
but I'm like
2018 Eastern Conference.
I don't have Al Horford in the top three.
I named the two young players first.
Yeah. I think it's Jaylen Brown one.
Jaylen Brown's been terrific.
Well, Jaylen Brown's been a little better than Tatum, and Tatum's been great.
You can't see all the stuff that Horford does away from the balls.
And don't take it. This is not. Al Horford's been damn good, and he's. And I compliment him earlier for getting in Marcus Morris's ear, saying, "You're better than that. Don't start chirping now.
Of course,
I know you need that part. We got their ass.
He's a top five important player in this game. Because you want to know why? Because it's LeBron, and then it's four Celtics.
I put Marcus Smart ahead of him, from impact in these two games.
It's LeBron, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown.
I'm not even saying nobody for them. I'm saying from a Celtics standpoint. A pecking order. Give me a top five impactful guys from a Celtics standpoint.
Horford's like third.
Third. So Smart's fourth.
He's second or third.
Yeah.
Every time they need a basket, it's him, though. That's worth
something. Where do you put Rozier? You know what I mean? It's another one.
Yeah. But the game gets close. The game gets to a party.
He may be fifth on your team. I know, Jim, I know his importance. I understand that. But I'm just saying, when I'm sitting here watching these two games, the things stick out to me. Like, it's Jaylen Brown. It's Tatum. I totally forgot about Rozier. Like, it's either Rozier or Smart than Horford. to me. That's all. That's not the, that's how good the other players have been. How great they're playing. That's it. This team's pretty freaking good. You can mix them all up. I don't care. Go ahead. Put four for one. Whatever.
It's the whole point of having it. That's the whole point of talking.
Finding out you got a damn good team.
Of pumping up
the
team aspect of the team. It doesn't matter.
As good as Horford is,
you don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah,
right.
Doesn't matter. You need them all.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Brad Stevens joins us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hey, Brad.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Coach, where'd you rank Horford as far as importance to your team?
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
And I'll say this about the... I think Boston's clearly the better team. Right? There's no shame in losing to a better team. But they owe themselves, if this is the end of this four-year run together, to do it the right way. Like, stay together, fight as hard as you can. If you can turn it and win 4 or 5, go to the finals, great. And even if you can't, feel good about how you went about losing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Simba.
It's like Brian Windhorst writes, like the alpha male lion who had to fight his way to the head of the pride. The battles build up scar tissue and the younger upstart circle. And Jeff Van Gundy right there last night.
Such a good song.
It's talking about the Cavs quitting. That's what he's talking about. If you're going to lose, then lose, but don't do it this way. Don't do it this way. Show something. Will they show something? I don't think any of us know, but you're using the first two games as the sample. Now I'd be surprised if they do respond. If they respond in some significant way. And that doesn't mean they can't win games, because I think they will. But man, oh man, what a bad showing for the Cavs over the first two games of this series. Let's get back to your call. 617-779-0985. Mark in Medford on the Celtics struggling on the road.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
In all honesty, okay, yeah. Where did you have this series at after two games?
I would say 1-1.
1-1, maybe yeah. Even down 0-2.
I'd say pray to have your fingers crossed, and I was there Friday, and I said I thought Sunday was a must-win game for the Celtics.
Absolutely, game one, the first game, yeah. Definitely. Okay, now, nobody expected them to be up 2-0 going to Cleveland, okay? But no one is talking about the Celtics have won one road game this year in the playoffs. So if the statistics say anything, they should come home tied 2-2.
That might happen. That might happen. They come back tied 2-2, and then they win game 5, and they win game 6. They get over that hump of being so bad on the road, and they close it out on the road. It's what they do. It's a bold prediction, though. I've gone bold on this today.
Celtics in 5. I'm saying Celtics in 5 now. That'd be at home, right? Yeah. Close out at home.
Yep.
Zoe had to trump you. You're going bold, Beetle? I'm going to game 5.
7-minute abs. 6-minute. 7's a magic number. 8-minute abs.
Yeah.
Look at this. We've gone loco here. No, we haven't.
Sure, we have.
Going by what you see.
But I think we're discounting that the Cavs, even though they're a complete disaster right now, can still win games at home.
We've been trained so much in the NBA and watching the NBA that veterans and star power supersedes everything. That's what carries you. And you never really have seen that team concept of teams playing together and these super teams get assembled. You had a big three in Miami. And next thing you know, what's going on out west? Durant loses to them. Oh, can't beat them. Might as well join them. You're so used to that mentality in the NBA. The Lakers team. Hardy's gone through it. You got to go back to 04. Got to go all the way back to when Pistons won. It's kind of what you're seeing here.
Tim in North Andover, the comment line says, draft lottery and Twister. This should be good. Tim.
Hey, you guys happened to catch the last minute of the draft lottery last night?
No.
Yeah, the lady who accepted was up on stage for the Atlanta Hawks was actually Bill's wife, Melissa, in Twister.
Oh, wasn't she in Lost Boys, too?
Jamie Gertz.
Yeah, black hair. I guess she married the owner of the Hawks or something like that. But yeah, she was up there.
Yeah, that's right. She was the nutty doctor in Twister.
What?
She was the psych. She was a psychiatrist.
Oh, is that what she was?
Yeah, in Twister. Remember, she was Bill Pullman in that red truck?
Yeah, she didn't like that he did all that stuff. Yeah. Here's how she looks now.
What's her name? Jamie Gertz?
Jamie Gertz.
It was like, as soon as they announced it, I was like, whoa, minority owner of the Hawks.
Yeah. Her husband is the principal owner, Tony Ressler.
Oh, so for her to get married, she probably had to put in her own money, huh? She become a minority. You want to get married? Put a little minority stake in it.
Joe's in Lynn. Hey, Joe.
Oh, good phone.
That's not going to work. Excellent. Jason in Vancouver. Jason.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hard fan out here. I just had a quick question for you. With this crazy good run and Jalen and Jason showing so much, do you think they're now untouchable in the possible Kawhi trade rumors going forward?
I think it would be stupid to do it, and I don't think the Celtics would want to do it. Untouchable? I don't know. I don't know what they consider untouchable, but I wouldn't do that. Untouchable in my mind for that, yes.
Why do we always got to do this? Why do we got to do this? The second you get rolling, well, would you give this guy up? I'm going to pick one or the other. Why do we do that now? Do we really have to do that right now?
You've got two young players that are playing beyond their years.
Just told you helping
lead your
thing?
Team to wins in the Eastern Conference Finals. Up 2-0, halfway home to being in the NBA Finals. And you care about whether or not they trade for some dog who couldn't even show up and suit up for his team? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Why do we have to do that? I'm with you, Zoe. Why?
It's the basketball thing. I don't know. It's the back of it. We're going to make the money match. Don't forget, you got to make the money match. I just said the one thing I'm looking forward to this weekend is not about how does LeBron James respond at home. I can't wait to see how the two kids play on the road in Game 3.
It's typical
because it seems like Jaylen Brown's got this killer instinct, and he's just unfazed, and they don't fear.
If they somehow get through the Cavs, right? They somehow get through the Cavs. You guys think it's a sure thing. I still think it's a challenge. All right? They somehow get through the Cavs, they get to the Warriors, and the floor gets wiped with them, and those guys look bad. This will come back up, and it'll be a more logical conversation.
There you go. That's fine then. But why do we have to do this today?
Because people can see that coming.
Oh.
And you thought we were the negative ones today, not giving the Celtics their credit. Huh.
I think they've been realistic the whole time.
Patel is in East Hampton. Hi, Patel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Hey, so my whole idea is I've been a diehard Celtics fan for a long time, and my idea is why not keep and pay Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier and keep them? And maybe deal. I know we got a lot of money locked into Hayward, and I know Kyrie's going to need to get paid in 2 years. But ideally, in the situation we have right now, our team's young. They're growing. They're going to get better. Kyrie might be a piece we might just need to deal. He's primarily a ball handler. I love him. He's one of the best in the league. But we could benefit from this. You know, we could deal him. Maybe even at the draft lottery, get number one. Take a 7-footer, DeAndre Ayton. We need a rebounder. Al's going to be mid-30s. He's great. He's going to be fantastic for how much longer?
Are you serious, Patel? I mean, really? Is this what we're going to do today? We're going to do this. When the reality is, if you bring back Kyrie Irving, you bring back Gordon Hayward, you might be there. You might be there. You might be championship-worthy type of team season. You might be that.
Well,
with these two young players.
He's primarily a ball handler, libido. He's a ball handler.
Nonsense that is.
He's a ball handler.
No, he's not. Remember when he had that dagger against Golden State to win a trophy? You know, the big one?
But
to win the title in the NBA? Because when you're backed up and you're playing against a great team and you need big clutch shots, you know who was there to make them for Cleveland? Yeah, it was Kyrie Irving was his name. And now you've got him.
But Horford's getting older.
You want to pull up a picture of Al Horford and pull up a picture of DeAndre Ayton. You tell me who looks older. That guy has the Greg Oden in him.
The Greg
Oden. He looks like he's 40.
Old jelly knee. Stop. Stop doing this to yourself.
This is like a 2-6 show team building.
Do you know what really scares and bothers me, though?
What?
That's like the fifth trade Kyrie Irving call we've gotten in the last week.
Yeah. Many of them.
Oh, Rozier's just... He's there now.
Scary. So was Terry. Isaiah last year.
Scary Terry. You see t-shirts already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Isaiah Thomas scored 50 days after his sister died.
I know, and I said back up the Brinks truck. Was that stupid? That's stupid. Pay him. Build it around him. I sat here and said that. That's the dumbest basketball things I've ever said. Hey, but that's how I felt. Look how excited I am about these young kids.
If you follow your heart, you'll never be wrong.
Right.
Speaking of dumb basketball things, Brad Stevens, welcome into Zolak and Bertrand.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Oh, nothing, coach. Sitting here watching monkey videos, throwing raccoons around.
Sports Hub headlines.
See, the more ridiculous you get, the better your first question actually will be. Good for you, Zo. The Celtics with the win last night over the Cavaliers. It's now 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals in favor of the Green. Last night's victory, 107-94. Marcus Smart still giving credit to a guy on the other side of the ball last night, LeBron James.
Oh, man, you know, you got to tip your hat to LeBron. You know, he's been doing this for a long time, and if not the greatest, one of them to do it. You know, we knew coming into this game that, you know, he was going to come out and give everything he had, and he was going to have a game like this. And, you know, our job was to just, you know, keep going.
42 points for LeBron James last night. In the Cavaliers' loss, though, they'll be in Cleveland for Game 3 on Saturday. Red Sox need a win tonight to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Oakland A's. Chris Sale will get the start. Last night, 5-3 the final. Eduardo Rodriguez allowed 3 runs on 6 hits in 5 innings. Headlines are brought to you by Gravely Lawnmowers. Buy a Gravely zero-turn ZTX zero-turn mower for as little as $28.99. Go to Gravely.com. for your local dealer today. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50 here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Brad, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Coach? Just watching a cat chasing a squirrel in a tree now.
No. You got to think of a good question.
I got it.
The head coach
I'm
of the Boston
sure
Celtics.
I totally
the
do.
The head coach of the basketball team that has a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals over LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers is going to be on the phone to talk to you in 12 minutes. What are you going to ask him? You have first question. What are you going
to
ask him?
I'm not going to. It's my question. It's not for you to know. He might steal my question.
How am I going to steal it? It's your question.
That's a good point. I am the first one talking.
Right.
Oh, don't you worry. And I got it.
I'm not, worried about him.
I know. He's
Bill in Stoughton. How are you, Bill?
Billy boy.
Hello?
Billy.
Hello?
Hello, you there, Bill?
Yeah.
How do you think our phones sound?
They're all right.
Go ahead.
All right.
Are you at Stoughton?
I was. I'm driving.
Guy sounds nervous.
Nope.
You are nervous. But
I think the Celtics are going to win in four. I'm calling it right now. I think LeBron's on his way out.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Bill. That's a sweep. He's got a sweep. Joe and Lynn, you got a sweep? What do you got?
Hello.
Hello.
Joe.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah. You there, Joe? Sorry, you ready to go on the air?
Really bad service here in Lynn.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys called LeBron James' post-game yesterday with Kevin Love.
We did.
Yeah, a little giggling back and forth. That was fun, huh?
No, yeah. I mean, he said he wouldn't lose an inch of sleep if Kevin Love got a question. I'm just wondering if Celtics fans should be concerned at the fact that the greatest player in the world is not concerned at all that his team is down 2-0.
There is a little something scary about that. There is something that I look at that last night, and I would be more convinced of this being over if LeBron was sort of dejected and feeling down about it after two games. But he wasn't.
Well, because you're going home.
Because there's if he felt like level. Down about it, you'd be thinking, oh, he's out. He's tapped out too now. He's had enough. I don't think he's had enough. LeBron has trailed before. LeBron has had big comebacks before.
He's brought his team back down, though, to win the series twice before.
Maybe LeBron is thinking, hey, you know what? Game three, I'm back home. I'm not going to get whacked in the head, hopefully, and I'm going to go out and do this for all four quarters. I think I can do that.
Yep.
And Kevin, you just do what you did. Give us that 22 again, and we'll be good.
Do it, dude. Win our home games.
And that could play out that way.
Series, we got the series back. You know, even this thing up at home.
The one thing that I don't see changing is the Cavs' defense. Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
That
see, that's where, like, they don't have an answer. Where there's a matchup issue for them. And your team is longer and more athletic than people give them credit for.
Although early on.
You hear Van Gundy talk about him. He thinks, it feels to me like he thinks Cleveland's dead.
Size was a problem for the Celtics early on in the game.
Like, Van Gundy keeps saying, like, you don't understand, this Celtic team is good. They are big and they are athletic and they can play. And you're like, that guy knows what he's talking about.
Zach is in Northbridge. Hi, Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
All right. This is what I'm going to talk about. Make it sweet. Celtics, if they win game three, they're going to sweep because Brad Stevens got their head down and focused on the eye on the prize. Okay? This team is built for success and built for the future. And I'm excited for what's about to happen for this team in the road to come. Furthermore, LeBron James, he scores 42 points. He can't keep up. He needs other help. All right, guys? And also, on top of that, last thing, ESPN, it's a Cavs embarrassment, I'll be giving some credit when credit's due. They're playing out of their minds, and this team does not know what to do with the Celtics.
The Cavs suck. Come on. You said it yourself. There's nobody behind LeBron. Kevin Love. Kevin Love last night was the one guy who did something. Anything. It's part of the story, whether you like it or not. It is. Part of the story. And I don't think that takes away anything from the Celtics.
Yeah.
The Celtics aren't even playing with their roster. They're playing with a thinned out roster. They've got injuries all over the place. And they're still up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Just go get Kawhi Leonard.
You don't do that just by showing up for the games. We know that.
Go get Anthony Come on. Davis and Kawhi Leonard.
You can do it. You can do it. You can say the Cavs have sucked in the series. It's okay. It's not a put down to the Celtics to say that. You get the best player in the world over there on that team still.
How much of the sucking the Cavs have done is directly related to the way the Celtics are playing, though?
0.5%. What is that?
I have no clue. All
for free. Oh, it's those phone.
No clue. I didn't.
Commercial is your ringtone.
Not even on it.
I think the way Marcus Smart, and this is what we heard about him. This is what we think about Marcus Smart based on what they were like when he went out. He makes defenses uncomfortable. And I think a lot of the way the Cavaliers are playing are a result of Marcus Smart's defense and the way he kind of influences the attitude of the rest of the team.
It's not like they just decided to quit.
It's that
it's tough.
More than half of it, Jim.
And they don't like tough.
My answer.
So they were up 9 with 9.5 minutes left in the third quarter.
Keep going back to this.
They were up 9 with 9.5 left. Stevens took Tatum out and put Baines in.
9.5 minutes left.
Did the Cavs just decide to quit because Baines came in for Tatum?
I think
there was a 14-point swing in the next 8 minutes after that.
Okay, so
they went from down 9 to up 5.
Right, so what was the score at the end of the third? It was like 84-77 or something.
What answer is going to make you not yell at us? What do you want to hear?
I just want to know why they quit. Did they quit because Baines came in?
They quit because the Celtics make it tough.
Baines
makes adjustments.
Look at him.
And it makes it a hard road. Yeah. And then they say, oh.
So they don't want to fight.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. That's what it is.
And that's
what I'm trying to tell you.
And you don't want to stand by him.
There's something that has prompted them to do this.
And it takes like a few quarters to have this happen. It's not like they quit from the opening tap. They quit at some point in the second half when they're grounded down.
I think
the Celtics keep grinding them down.
Celtics make you think. And they don't allow you to get into flow. It's the mixing, it's the matching up, and like, oh crap, there's a different energy when Smart's on me as opposed to what I saw last quarter or last series. Okay, I'm getting it, but that guy's not getting it. We've yet to see Cleveland on the same page with all five. We saw it through stretches with Philly at the end. Those games with Philly were damn good games, back and forth. Where it seems like Philly started to figure the series out a little bit towards the end. You understand what I'm saying?
Like J.R. Smith, that bag of crap,
like
J.R. Smith.
Not figure out anything.
That guy has played on teams that have had Kyrie, LeBron, Kevin Love. They've gone to the finals a bunch of times.
Guys carrying.
He's used to it being easy for them. Used to it being easy, so when he actually plays a team, he's like, oh, the hell with this. Right. I don't have anything for you tonight. That's what it comes down to. They've had it easy, and now it's not easy for them.
He's been on cruise.
And so everybody over there that isn't, and again, I'll give Love the credit for last night, it isn't LeBron or Kevin Love just giving up in this thing. They don't like it to be hard. They don't know what to do with themselves when it's hard.
All right, one more practice for Zoe.
All right, Brad Stevens, you've made it hard for the Cavaliers. You're up 2-0. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
This is game time for Scott Zolak. Tip-off just seconds away. He's got his pregame routine that he's been going through over here to get ready.
We've been practicing.
Get ready to practice.
Big moment. First question for the coach.
Be prepared for this very interview as we welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, who currently lead the Cleveland Cavaliers 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's Brad Stevens on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, Coach, first of all, congratulations on the big team win last night. And the other day you said, I'm not too comfortable with all the praise that you've been getting. Now that you're up 2-0, maybe you're getting a little more comfortable? I saw you with your arms uncrossed at the end of that game last night.
No. No.
Damn it!
You know how it goes. Like
horse blinders, that's right.
We are, as I said the other day, we all have a role to play. We have to play it well. These guys have been incredible throughout this run, but we have a long way to go. We still have things we can improve on from the last two games. We have things that we all need to work on to be better, and we just have to kind of keep that mindset. I think anybody that has ever been through one of these series knows that these things turn very quickly if you don't stay locked in, you don't stay focused, and nobody has a better ability to turn it than LeBron James. And so I think that ultimately we've got to stay in the right mindset. We've got to stay focused. But as far as the praise goes, again, that should be on the players. That should be on Danny. That should be on our coaching staff. But at the end of the day, I'll deflect it because like I said, it's not the most comfortable feeling in the world. I'd much prefer to just kind of stay under the radar.
You mentioned the force that is LeBron James. If you could put a percentage on it, what percentage of the preparation for each of these games is focused on LeBron?
Well, I think it's twofold. LeBron as a scorer and all the things that he does to score the ball and get the matchup that he wants is obviously a huge part of what they do. And then when they're really rolling, he's not only scoring the ball, but he's picking you apart because you're over helping off of the other guys, or you're not consistent in your techniques off the other guys. And, I think for the most part, we've done a decent job, through each of the first two games in both areas. But we saw last night LeBron really get going in the first and get comfortable. And then we saw Korver really get going in the second. Love's been very consistent in both games. Like, we have to do the best we can at taking away the tendencies of everybody on their team. But when you have a team that has LeBron on it, I mean, obviously, they run so much stuff for him and through him that, yeah, it certainly starts there.
You know, Coach, I know guys like Smith has been on championship teams, but, you know, LeBron and Love have pretty much seen everything. Do you feel that the other guys, you know, the Corvers, everybody else on their team feels that, you know what, maybe they're a little surprised by the height of your team, the athleticism of it, the energy of it, that maybe it caught them off guard for two games here?
I don't think so. You know, the reason I say I don't think so is because those guys, just because they haven't won a championship, you know, if they would have been playing in Cleveland and, you know, prior to the last couple of years, they probably would have, right? And, yeah. And so I think ultimately, you know, Korver's been in the league a long time. He's 37 years old. He's seen it all. You know, obviously you've got a guy like Love. I think Thompson's made a big difference in both games with his rebounding. And you know, we just have to do our best to counter that. Them going big was a, you know, made a difference at times. You know, against some of our lineups. And so we have to be ready to, when we do play small, play better, than we did yesterday. And then when they go big, we've got to keep them off the glass.
So when they went big last night and Aaron Baines gets into the game, that seemed to help in a big way. If they go big early in game three, do you expect to have the same type of reaction to it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we've got to just talk about what our best case scenario is. The part that is hard about them going big is twofold. Number one is the rebounding becomes unbelievable when you insert Thompson, because Thompson's a tremendous offensive rebounder, as is Love. So now you've got the four and the five on the court that are just tremendous offensive rebounding, and then you shift LeBron to the three, which is a size issue, obviously, for most threes in the league. And so there's a lot there to unpack, and you just have to kind of look at it possession by possession. You might have to do some unorthodox things from a matchup standpoint when we're small. And then when we were big, we were a little bit better, especially in that third quarter run. You know, we had Morris at the three. So we'll have to gauge all that and look at it all and figure out what our best thing is moving forward.
Is there a chance you change your starting lineup again?
Sure.
And I know you study every series, and you've watched all their games. This delay between game two and game three, you don't play until, you know, Saturday night. You're going to study them deeper as far as the way they play at home. Do you notice anything with them as far as, are they a different team at home, you know, specifically in the playoffs, maybe from a team standpoint or an individual standpoint?
Well, I think everybody, you know, would say, and again, I think you always have to go to, it all happens between those lines, and you try to focus on what you can control, and you don't talk about home and road as much. But, you know, there's a reason why teams play the regular season for home court advantage. And, you know, you're going to have to play even more locked in, even more poised, even tougher, even more together when you're on the road. And, you know, when you're at home, everybody's feels a little bit more comfortable. And so we've got to do our best to continue to, you know, keep those other guys from getting into a rhythm and guard LeBron as hard as we can.
You like the 3 days off between games?
You know what? I haven't really thought about it other than the fact that we're only playing, you know, we played nine last night, I think, before the very end of the game. And, you know, in a lot of these games, we're playing 7 to 8. So I don't see it as a bad thing by any means. But at the same time, I think we're all antsy to play. By the time the game starts, even with one day in between, you know, how many times can you watch the last game? You know, and how many times can you watch different things? You know, I find myself watching games from, you know, all around the season and years past and everything else. I think as much to pass the time. I'm not sure if I'm getting as much out of it as I need to be.
Yeah, do you get sucked down one of those rabbit holes of chasing video or watching things that you didn't intend to watch, and all
that's
of a sudden
all
you're
time.
Hours
yeah.
deep? And, you know, it's like Zoe when he watches YouTube. You know, he gets sucked into all these crazy videos, and then we can't get him off of there.
Maybe not exactly the same as that, but...
I'll tell you, you want to get one of your team meetings going if the place is a little tight? Pull up the YouTube of the chimpanzees chasing a raccoon around in their cell. And it's,
I got it.
You'll lose the room. The room will go nuts. And then, okay. Boom, you got their attention.
That's a coaching tip from Zoe.
So
I'll make sure I credit it.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Final one, Coach. Just last night, LeBron with that big first quarter, Cavs go up by 11, and yet it's another comeback win and your team. You know, what is it about this team and this group that allows you guys to not lose focus and really don't have that fear that allows you to come back and win these games?
Well, I think as we all know, 11's nothing in the NBA. I mean, that dissipates pretty quickly, especially with the increase in number of threes that everybody's taking. So we saw it on our end, too. They cut that lead to 6 really quickly. And, you know, you just have to be able to kind of weather those storms and continue. I felt like in the first half, for the most part, with some exceptions, we were getting great shots. We took care of the ball all night. We didn't turn it over. And we were getting really good looks. In fact, I felt like in the first half we got better looks than in the most of the third, even in the early fourth when we went on our run. I thought we hit some tougher ones. And I think that, you know, we just have to be able to move on to what's next. I think that with great players, you know, LeBron and players like that, sometimes you just have to tip your cap and go score, you know. And I think being able to stay in that moment, recognize it's not the end of the world when he hits the 1 foot fadeaway from 28 feet. It's a heck of a shot. It's on everybody's highlights, but there's no reason to get down about how you guarded him on those possessions.
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Brad, thank you. Appreciate it.
Have fun in Cleveland.
All right, thank you.
See Talk you. Soon. Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Pretty good, Zol. Pretty good.
Thank you.
It's good.
One word.
Clearly not. Not rattled at all.
Little long-winded in that first question.
You kind of got to congratulate him. Let's get to the meat of it. Congratulations on the win last night. Speaking of winning the other day, a little comfortable.
Yeah,
did go with an arms uncrossed question, though, which...
Well, we'll hear it again.
We'll chuckle about it.
We'll hear it again in the takeaways.
Okay, right. Hardy has headlines. Don't go anywhere. Final hour on the way.